As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Welcome to The Athletic NBA Show, Monday through on The Athletic Podcast Network. Okay, here we go.
Welcome to the Athletic NBA Show podcast on the Athletic Podcast Network. I'm Zach Harper. It is August 9th. You might be listening to this on August 9th. You might be listening to this on August 10th. Hell, you might even save it for the 11th. I don't know. I just know it's the dog days of summer. Mike Smells joins me. Mike, thankfully, during these times, we have Kevin Durant. Maybe you don't feel that way necessarily, but
yes.
I'm thankful for it because obviously we've had this this just sort of saga, sort of drama, but it's a saga and a drama with a lot of inactivity, right? With the Nets and the trade requests and everything with Kevin Durant. And so on Monday, we get the report from Shams Charania that KD met with Josiah over the weekend and
said in London
went overseas, hopped across the pond, and went to maybe they were watching Man City or something. I don't know what they were doing.
We had video of KD at a Travis Scott concert with James Harden.
Right. Oh, I didn't know that was in London.
I think that was in London. I don't know for sure, but I think it was.
You might be right. And they were celebrating like Travis Scott won a championship. For what, I don't know. But congratulations to Travis Scott, or not, I don't know.
God bless you, man. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
But he met, and we didn't just get like, yeah, trade me. I still want to be traded. We're getting, hey, trade me or fire Steve Nash and fire Sean Marks. Do I have this right? Is it like get rid of both of them? Let's get a reset into this front office and into these sidelines?
Yeah, fire everyone. Basically fire everyone.
Yeah.
This has kind of been brewing in the background. Like, so obviously from when Kevin Durant issued his first trade request via Rich Kleiman, when Rich just texted all the prominent NBA reporters and was like, hey, KD wants to be traded, but had no plan for that trade, like where to go.
None.
We've been always wondering, like, what's the reason? And there's been like a massive amount of speculation that it was Kyrie tied, that it was either the Nets didn't give Kyrie the extension and KD was mad, or that or that KD was mad that Kyrie's on the team at all. There's a belief out there that KD is done with Kyrie. Now, I think definitively. Well,
Let's dive into that real quick. The idea of like Kyrie couldn't get out of there. KD is after teaming up with him back in, what was that, 2019. Now, after a couple of years and the inability to just be available and stuff, right, for various reasons, KD's just finally like, screw this. I don't want to do this. I don't want this partnership anymore. So he's going to be on the team. Get me out of here. Now, I think that the reason I don't think that works is because he signed the extension and Kyrie just has one more year. Like, you can figure that out, right? Like, if you're KD, you couldn't be that short-sighted and that, like, you know, short-tempered to be like, he's still here. Get me out of here. That's why it doesn't make sense. But is there a reason where you think that theory could hold some water?
That he doesn't want to play with Kyrie, or that?
Yeah, and that's why he's like, I want out.
a couple of reasons. One is because with all these like Kyrie or all these KD trade requests, Kyrie's name is never attached, right? Like,
right.
Kevin Durant could, not that he has the ability to make it happen, but he could say, I want to be traded with Kyrie to the Lakers for Anthony Davis and Russell Westbrook or something like that, right? And play with LeBron.
Right.
So we've never seen that. And then there was a story 3 weeks ago from Brian Lewis in the New York Post from sources close to Kyrie. Basically, the sources saying, hey, Kevin wants out of Brooklyn, but Kyrie wants to stay. Like, Kyrie's happy. He's never requested a trade.
Right.
So all that story coming from a source close to Kyrie, and Zach, I know you know this, but like, there aren't many sources close to Kyrie.
There are not that many. Like, he's a pretty insulated guy.
His stepmom's his agent.
Yeah.
She's, she has a legit business career, but she's his agent. He's not part of any real agency.
Right.
So he's not like part of the CAA complex, right?
Right.
He is. So any source close to Kyrie is basically like his stepmom, his dad, or like, I don't know, his social media manager.
Right.
I'm not sure who that is. But they're doing a great job. I'll tell you, they're doing a bang up job because he's crushing it on the messaging.
Crushing on the messaging and just like, what a fun Twitch follow. Fun. You know, just
yeah. My co-host Brian and I have really made fun of the fact that Kyrie plays GTA 5 or whatever on Twitch, a game that you could play with other people, and he plays it by himself. Like, even in the virtual world, he's a solo artist.
He's just going one on one.
Yeah, just going one on one, breaking down. Blowing up cars and stuff. So like, we've had all these drips and drabs. You're trying to piece it together. It's the Charlie Day, you know, corkboard.
Pepe meeting. Sylvia. Yeah. We're trying to figure out why the mail is coming back to the mailroom.
Exactly. So we don't have that much information. Now, this report from Shams obviously lays down the marker.
Yeah. That's big right there. Yeah. It kind of limits any confusion on what's going on there.
Fire Sean Marks and Steve Nash and you get to keep me if you don't trade me.
The exciting thing here is I didn't know Joe Tsai was on Twitter. So I found out that Joe Tsai's on Twitter when he just tweets out like, yeah, we're going to like, we believe in our front office. We believe in our coach. And I don't want to be mean here. I get why you believe in Sean Marks. I'm not saying Steve Nash is a bad coach. I'm just saying if it was, and you don't want to necessarily dictate this culture. But if it was between keeping Kevin Durant for 4 years and keeping Steve Nash as a coach, I would probably make the irrational decision of like, well, give me KD. I'll take that.
Oh,
and I know what potholes now enter the ground there, right? I realize that, but I will, you know, most of the time side with historic talent.
Well, I'll tell you this. I did an informal poll to our Glue Guys. I'm the host of the Glue Guys, our Glue Guys listeners. 77%. It was the choice keep KD or keep Sean Marks and Steve Nash. 77% were keep KD.
I voted keep KD.
Yeah. And but here's the problem, okay? I've advocated for Steve Nash to be gone. I think he's a below average coach. He may be a sweetheart of a man.
Sure.
A real pleasure to be around. A great guy to kick around a soccer ball with. But like, he's never done anything ultimately that's elevated the roster.
Yeah.
Right? And it's been a disaster. Like,
yeah,
I think
in terms of like, and we see this with plenty of coaching staffs, but I do believe, and this will sound more obvious after last year, but like, he needs an Ime Udoka on the bench, like kind of helping him out, right? Like whoever that lead assistant
and
is
Mike D'Antoni
be,
as the shadow coach behind him.
Shadow coach, right? Exactly. Like he needs that, which I don't necessarily have a problem with. If his ability is to connect to the players and lead the players, and you have someone else kind of handling the X's and O's and logistics of it, I don't have that. I don't have a problem with that as a setup. The issue is he's lost the star of the team. Like, that's the thing. He didn't do, like, the guy who picked him, right? KD was like, hey, that guy, I like working with him in Golden State.
I think if the tea lunch negotiation between Joe Tsai and Kevin Durant, because I'm imagining that they sat down for tea together. They had cucumber sandwiches and some delightful little pastries.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Because that's the only way you would meet in London or in a pub.
Love the idea of the pub, though. Joe Tsai and Kevin Durant walk into a pub.
Throwing darts.
Yeah.
Well, like they're hushed in the corner. You know, like there's a real atmosphere. It's kind of like a Guy Ritchie film, but
I kind of like the idea of them like starting to argue with each other and they take it to the dartboard and KD's like, I've got this amazing hand-eye coordination. I'm so accurate. My arms are so long. Like, I'm going to do this. Josiah
was a college athlete.
Busts open his own personal set of darts. Like, he just got his own and he like just very, very sneakily just absolutely destroys KD on the dartboard.
They're like, I don't know if you watch Prey yet on.
Yeah, I watched it last night. Oh, yeah. What a time, man.
Yeah, if he is like a Predator missile guided dart system because he, you know, is a billionaire and they have those things.
Yeah.
So if Kevin Durant's stipulation was like fire Steve Nash and not Sean Marks, it would be done. Like, because ultimately, like when you want to fire a coach, you can fire a coach if you're a superstar, you can find another coach. There's many available candidates who are interesting. Quinn Snyder, of course, is like the guy that's like looming above a lot of other people.
Is that who Nets fans have kind of targeted as like the next guy if a move is made?
Zach, Nets fans aren't practical. Partly,
I don't want practical. It's boring in August. Give me irrational.
Greg Popovich.
Oh, I love the Pop idea.
Greg Popovich is the name that like everyone's like, oh well, the Spurs are tanking. They're tanking.
They're going for Victor Wembanyama. Yeah, absolutely.
Because like that's the thing. So, you know, we've seen if you go down like who would the coach be, it has to be such a distinct person that can handle the situation correctly to capture the attention of Kevin Durant and Kyrie.
Right.
You thought that Steve Nash would be it. It wasn't it. Like the fear that what would happen, and this is sort of why I'm anti. Like, as crazy as it sounds and as spoiled as it may sound to be like, oh, trade Kevin Durant. This team's culture's better than whatever without Kevin Durant. I'm not even saying that. If you fire Sean Marks and Steve Nash, no problem firing Steve Nash. Ultimately, I know as heartless as that sounds.
Yeah.
Sean Marks is a little bit tougher, but whatever. There's no backup plan. It's not like there's like this. One, you're doing it in August, so it's not like you can hire Justin Zanuck and Will Hardy or, you know, whatever has got going on with Utah. Like you fire those guys, then it's like, all right, so then is Rich Kleiman going to run the team? And then Mark Jackson's the coach? Like that's the problem when you kind of get to this situation. You may want to keep Kevin Durant, but you don't have a backup. There's no backup plan.
And who's right under Sean? Is it Jeff Peterson?
Well, there's a couple of people under him, but people have been leaving. There's the guy Matt Riccardi, who just left for Dallas.
Yeah, but that's kind of my point. Is like even if like that next person up, like, are they going to feel a loyalty to Sean Marks? Does KD lump them in with like, nah, that's a Sean Marks, you know, crew right there? Like, I want you know, fresh blood. I want everything new. Like, I don't even know that KD is pulling the strings that much. This is the thing, Mike. Like, I think that KD is just going like, fuck this. I'm just gonna make it hard for everybody. Like, I don't like, I don't have a plan. I don't have like a replace him with this guy and get in, hire this guy. Like, it's just like, I don't care anymore, right? Like, either you kind of bend to my will because I'm the star here, or trade me. Like, whichever is gonna be your decision, I'm good with. Because I even looked at it this way when he requested the trade. And the preferred destinations were Phoenix and Miami. Maybe I'm thinking like too, like kind of Machiavellian with this thing in terms of like assuming KD knew this and stuff. But like those trades were always going to be damn near impossible to pull off. Now, maybe he still gets traded to Miami. Maybe he still gets traded to Phoenix. I don't know. But the idea that like, hey, you can't just trade Bam for him because of Ben Simmons. So now you got to either move Ben or you got to, you know, find some package that doesn't include Bam. And that doesn't seem like that exists for the Nets and what they would want back, right? And all this stuff. And then with Phoenix, it's like, does DeAndre Ayton really want to be there? It sounds like he never even considered it as a possibility, right? Like, so you had all these difficult like logistics, and I think KD is kind of just like throwing a chaos grenade into everything. And as long as he like gets out of there, I don't think he really cares.
And that's what's so interesting. I mean, you know, we can keep talking. There's like obviously like the micro stuff, the things that are happening right now.
Yeah.
But the legacy stuff that's happening, I know KD likes to make fun of legacy. Like he had that whole Twitter thread about what's your legacy?
Right.
Like, do you wake up in the morning and I don't know, did you do the dishes well?
At the time, I had COVID, so I thought I was just furthering Kyrie's legacy, if I'm being honest. Like, I thought, like, I woke up to that, and I was, like, real sick with COVID, and I just thought, well, what's not my legacy I'm helping here?
It's just that, like, he, like, as much as people can get on, I don't want to do, like, LeBron James versus Kevin Durant, player of the generation, but
right.
As much as people get on LeBron for being, again, Machiavellian, like, I'm going to fire this coach, I'm going to get all my clutch clients paid,
yeah.
But I'm going to win a championship. Kevin Durant went to Brooklyn thinking that he was creating the Miami Heat 2.0, the Heatles 2.0, and ended up creating, just partly because of who he teamed up with, a disaster.
I'm not going to push back on that. I do think, though, it was pretty damn close to working, which sounds crazy after they just got swept in the first round. But you think it, like, I know we keep going back to this, but like half a shoe size from beating the Bucks.
Sure.
No offense to Hawks fans. They beat he beats the Hawks by himself in the next round. And then, like, do they beat the Suns? Probably not healthy enough, because I don't think that James Harden thing is getting better. I don't think Kyrie's coming back full strength, right? If he comes back at all during that time. But you've made the finals at that point. Like, I know they get judged on championship or bust with those three, but it was so close to working, and then it just fell apart spectacularly. So it ultimately is the disaster that you're describing it as. I do think it's not quite that just like black and white, though.
But that's what makes it more painful for Nets fans, is that...
Yeah, I get that.
There is this, like, there's this very clear reality. Did you watch Moon Knight? I didn't finish Moon Knight on Disney Plus.
Oh no, I had no interest. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. But there's like,
I have a loose understanding of what the character is. I'm like, I'm good.
I don't even care about this analogy as I'm saying it, because I thought the show was bad. Yeah. But they're like, the guy has multiple personalities.
Right.
And he can see his other personality in a mirror.
Okay.
And like, Nets fans are pressed up against that mirror, seeing this alternate reality where it's like, if Kevin Durant's foot is just a little bit behind that line,
yeah,
they hit that shot, and you know, obviously he did hit the shot, but a little bit behind the line, you know, they go to the championship. Hey, that builds more momentum. It legitimizes the thing, the Kyrie, you know, but ultimately, like, you're going to fall back on this. Kyrie makes his decision about his body.
Sure.
James Harden gets freaked out because he's by himself playing with Kessler Edwards and Nick Claxton, and he's looking at Kevin Durant being hurt and Kyrie being unavailable.
Stubborn. Right, yeah.
And so he leaves town. And of course, at that time, pretty much all Nets fans, except for my co-host Brian, was like, James Harden's the bad guy. When in the end, you know, James Harden knew he was the canary in the coal mine. He knew that this thing is a disaster. Like,
I think the only issue we have, or I think the only issue I have with James Harden, I shouldn't speak for everybody, is just the weak attempt to deny the rumors. Yes. Like 3 weeks before he got traded, 2 weeks before he got traded, whatever. Because he's like, what reports? You didn't hear from me. It's like, yeah, that's why it's a report. Because you won't go on the record saying, yeah, I'm trying to get traded to Philadelphia. And then 2 weeks later, you get traded to Philadelphia. And he's like, I always wanted to be here. It's like, what are you doing? Like, that didn't just happen.
Yeah, and I'll take less money to be here. I won't get paid off in the back end.
No, it's
fine. We'll wait to see that.
What do you mean, Fanatic stock? What are you talking about?
I think this is an important point, and it's to go back to the Kyrie vaccine situation and how the Nets originally banished him. Okay, right. And then as it develops, the process that we learned, and then eventually Josiah was pressured to allow Kyrie to play again. That same playbook is being applied right now with how Kevin Durant is trying to get out of Brooklyn.
Yeah.
So the Nets banish Kyrie. Josiah comes out very strongly and says, you know, this is about team culture. And he also had specific comments about vaccinations. He's like, I would never have an employee that doesn't get vaccinated. And then slowly the team, Kevin Durant begins to apply the pressure. There's a story from Shams about how inside the locker room, they want Kyrie back. And then suddenly Kyrie's back playing part-time. Right. Right now, Kevin Durant wants out. Nothing happens. Pressure builds. Now there's another story of Kevin Durant directly wanting to get out of Brooklyn, or these guys being fired.
Yeah.
So Did Josiah learn? I mean, it's so silly to be like, did he learn? Because he's a billionaire. He's one of the most successful entrepreneurs of his generation. Like,
right.
For me to act like that I have some particular insight in negotiation, like, I can't negotiate my way out of McDonald's. Like, I couldn't, like, if I wasn't given the ketchup desired.
You could get a large instead of a medium if you wanted to. You could do it. I believe.
I send my wife, my wife, Sam, she that's her role. I stand in the background,
yeah.
terrified to even think about making someone else uncomfortable. So, but did he learn? Like, did he learn from that Kyrie situation?
Oh, man.
It seems like he tweets out the thing, you know, I support the coaching staff. I support management. That leaves us with like, what are we going to do with KD? I don't know.
Do you think the tweet is a mistake or do you think it shows a place of strength?
I think
Maybe that's both. I don't know.
I don't think it's a mistake. I think you had to say something. I mean, it was so public and so distinct in Shams' story of that. They had this meeting in London.
Yeah.
KD laid down the line in the sand. You want me or you want Sean Marks and Steve Nash?
Flipped a table full of crumpets. Like it was a scene.
Crumpets were
man.
Everywhere. Yeah. It was a brutal, I mean, people haven't seen a scene that bad since the Boston Tea Party. I mean, it was just, they've been talking about it, you know,
right
over there in England.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. Word travels. Word travels. It traveled very slowly, but it traveled. Absolutely.
But I think you had to come out and say something. I mean, the guy is on Twitter. Like, I think it's weird when, you know, these people want to be on Twitter and then they're like Kevin Durant, even like Kevin Durant's not commenting on this, but like,
yeah,
he's still liking tweets from people who say he's the best player of his generation.
I love that. I love that. Do you think it was a mistake? Chaos.
I think you want to say it was a mistake.
I don't think it's a mistake from a place of, I'll take it in August. I think you are, if you're Joe Tsai and you're deciding to tweet that out, I think people don't realize what a small bubble Twitter is, right? Like so many companies overreact and make sure like they adhere to what's happening on Twitter. And especially when you want to break it down to just like the basketball world, specifically the NBA world, what are there? 30, 50,000 people at any given time, like maxing out of like what that audience is. Would Joe Tsai make a business decision for the Nets based on what 50,000 people want? Probably not, right? He would probably look at a much bigger sample size, or I would assume so. And so I think in getting that messaging out, obviously he's not just speaking to Twitter. He knows it's going to get aggregated. He knows it's going to become a story. He knows it gets on all of the, you know, the news sites and everything. But I do think like there is a real just misunderstanding of what social media is in the business world. And so I think Joe Tsai, from that standpoint, you're probably better off having a press conference that you can control rather than just sending out this tweet and igniting the flames further, if that makes sense.
Oh, I thought you were going to advocate for fax machines. I thought you were going to be pro faxes.
I love the noise a fax machine makes. Schleck, please cut that in right here. Okay. I love the sound. Or don't. That might be a lot of work. Don't listen.
He'll have to. Well, he'll just has to go to YouTube. Yeah.
But like, it's like, I love the sound a fax machine makes. So I'm for that. I am anti carrier pigeon, anti raven taking a note. I don't like birds.
Wow. You hate birds.
So yeah, I hate birds.
Anti bird guy.
Mm-hmm. Don't
kind
like
of always
birds.
Knew that about you.
Yeah. The birds are trying to kill us.
Yeah.
If they could.
Absolutely.
Either with disease or with their talons, like at all times. Like it, like you should not trust a bird.
Did you see that photo that popped up on Twitter of the bat in the Philippines?
Yeah, the 5-foot bat or whatever it was.
Yeah. Did
also,
you read behind that? Did you read the actual facts though?
No, but like, all right. So people are like, well, it's the perspective of the I don't care. That bat looks big enough that I don't want to go to the Philippines now. I don't need the exact measurement.
Yeah.
I looked at what seemed like the guy from Twin Peaks in a bat costume hanging upside down. Like, that's what it looked like. And so at that point, I'm good.
It popped up. There's someone who tweeted it out lately. Apparently, it's been a photo that's like been around for a while, and it's something that will get pop up on Reddit all the time. But when you see it, the bat looks like a human upside down, just towering over a building, basically.
Yeah.
And it's terrifying. And I mean, whoever's anti-Philippines, I mean, that's, you can't go to the Philippines at that point.
Yeah. That's
whether
the thing.
It's true or not.
I wasn't anti-Philippines before. I'm not anti-Philippines. I'm just anti-going there. If that exists in any form, it could be half the size. It could be a fifth of the size. I don't care. That's still too big of a bat for me.
Because if I'm Josiah, I'm sending that picture to Kevin Durant. I'm like, they found this in Phoenix. They found this in Miami. Do you want
No. In Miami, you have to send them that picture of the shark in the streets after a hurricane, right? In the flooded streets. Oh, yeah. Like, you'd be like, look, there's sharks in the street there. You can't go to Miami. They got these
Toronto
bats in
just
Phoenix.
Like a deranged beaver. It's like a
Toronto,
very
you just
mad
tell him like
beaver.
Toronto, you just tell him like the exchange rate or something like that and like what the taxes are. And I think he's just like, Kevin Durant likes his money too much. Yeah. I think Josiah could have handled it a little better. I do like kind of just the, I'm a billionaire. I'm going to do what I want. Bleep you. I'm tweeting this out. Like, there is part of me that's like, okay, I respect the fact that he's just like, what are you going to, like, you're not going to tell me how to run my organization. I also think it's a mistake in some level, right? Like, I think that you got to handle that a little better. I wonder if Josiah met with Kevin Durant, let's just say Rome, or they go to Paris or something like that, right? They're still going overseas. But
okay, what's the top 13 cities in Europe that you'd want to meet and have a negotiation with?
Amsterdam.
I was trying to think of like where the war were, like the Versailles Treaty, Treaty of Versailles. There's some famous treaties.
Mm. You think you just go into one of the rooms in Versailles and just like...
Yeah,
and just say,
don't
like,
they have a treaty room
out
in Versailles?
Yeah, they have to, right? I mean, that's where it was signed. Yeah,
that's where all the treaties are. They have like all the treaty paraphernalia that you would need.
Yeah.
Like there would be a cup of coffee. There would be a parchment paper and like a nice ink pen. You know, like what else do you need for negotiations? I think that's what they teach you at the NY.
Yeah, they've got like a gift shop that says like, I went to Paris and all I got was this stupid treaty or something like that. You know, like you can do that, right?
yes.
If Josiah and Kevin Durant met, and we're like
in Amsterdam. Yeah.
In Amsterdam. And Josiah says, like, look, we will replace Steve Nash. We haven't been very impressed with what he's done, right? As a coach, we have some ideas. We're not going to let you pick the coach, but we have some ideas. We do want your input. Sean Marks is staying. I will give Kyrie a 2-year max extension, but no more than that. He doesn't get, like, he's not getting 4 years. He's not getting the same timeline as you. Do you think that's something that KD would be like, all right, let's see how this goes?
Yeah, because you could sell it as like, Kevin, like if I'm Josiah, Kevin, do you know how many times the star player has disliked the general manager of a basketball team? Yeah. There's a famous basketball documentary called The Last Dance that is mostly about making fun of Jerry Krause.
Mm-hmm.
But
posthumously. Right? Like he's like he can't defend himself. They're just like, yo, this dude was fat and we called him crumbs.
And the dude like created, I mean, I know there was other people involved, but it like created one of the great sports dynasties of
all time. Pretty
and
good at his job during that decade. Yeah.
Like I don't understand. So anyways, like Kevin, you don't have to see Sean Marks. Like he will be out of your way. And if you can, so this was in the Shams story, and I do think this is part of what the Nets have trying to advocate to Kevin Durant. It's like, we got you Royce O'Neal. We invested into Claxton.
You got TJ Warren. Yeah, you got TJ Warren. Like that's somebody that was targeted for sure.
We got you. You're gonna have Joe Harris, Seth Curry, and Patty Mills shooters around you. Kyrie is back. He's back. We got him.
Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
If you're as obsessed with basketball as I am, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Hey guys, this is JJ Redick. Twice a week, I'm cooking up something special for basketball junkies on my podcast, The Old Man and the Three. I bring on guests in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, like Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, or Paolo Banchero on his shooting workouts with Kevin Durant, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron when they were teammates in Miami. But it's not just about the player interviews. Every Monday, I break down the top three things happening around the NBA without the outlandish takes. Often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler, we dive deep into topics like rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? The Old Man and the Three is the only companion podcast you'll need during the playoffs this year. Be sure to listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
Mm-hmm. Ben Simmons, looking great. Hey.
What does
ben
that mean, Simmons. Though?
Are you on social media? It looks great.
I'm not doing this shit anymore with Ben Simmons in the summer, okay? I'm just not. I know that this is new to Nets fans and like...
I know that I don't care.
He's working on his jump shot. He could look like Shaq and Steph Curry mixed into one in the summer. I need to see it in a regular season game.
But I don't know if you get this, because I get this because, again, I'm on Nets Twitter. A lot of the people that we follow are actual people who live in New York City that like the Nets, which is a small, we're a small group. But Ben Simmons has gone on like a glad-handing tour around New York City, showing up at charity events, showing up at little basketball games.
Yeah.
He's at Liberty games all the time.
That's great.
He's invested.
Zach. Is he in a Nets uniform on a basketball court? That's what I need to see. I love that he's embracing the community. Fantastic. You know who else did that? Kyrie.
Kyrie did that.
The whole vaccine thing. Like, then it's kind of tricky how you want to parse that out. I understand you guys embracing it. I'm not doing the Ben Simmons summer thing again. Okay. I just can't do it.
This is the summer of Ben Simmons. People are on the streets in New York City. That's what people are calling it. You know, the summer of 69. This is the summer of Ben Simmons.
I don't even need to see him shoot a jumper in this NBA. I just need to see him in an NBA game. Again,
He's at WNBA games. He's fantastic. On the sidelines.
Support the WNBA. Love the WNBA. Need to see him in a real NBA game. Not preseason, not a practice court where they're not playing defense. Like, none of that stuff. I need a real NBA game for Ben Simmons.
So I do think this truly matters. Not that Ben Simmons is back, because he's not. I think if there's a pie chart of KD's brain, okay, and let's say like some part of it's like fire Steve Nash, part of it is Sean Marks, fire Sean Marks, part of it's like give Kyrie the extension, there's a sliver, I don't know how big of it is, oh shit, if I'm sorry Schlecht, if we're not, I know this is a family podcast,
I think I said the F word earlier, I think yeah. We're good.
All right, I saw what Ben Simmons was like when we traded for him.
Mm-hmm.
He seemed healthy. And he told the team, there's so many reports out there that he told the team that he was going to play, and it kept getting pushed back. And there's the Rick Bucher story. What? Should I not reference the Rick Bucher story?
No. I'll tell you this. Look, I have no idea if this is true or not, okay? I have zero idea. I was in a group chat with some friends last night as this gets passed around, and we all decided we don't believe this. Like, we don't think that this is the group chat thing is an accurate story, but at the same time, we're all in.
Like, did anyone leave the group text? Do you know what happens when you're in a group text and someone leaves it? Okay, so the Rick Bucher story, like,
it says this person left the group text.
Yeah. Right? So it's
I need a screenshot.
I don't know why the FBI is wasting their time with President Trump. They should go and get the phones of the Nets. Yeah. The Rick Bucher story, for anyone who doesn't know it, it's hilarious. It's essentially like all the Nets, including Ben Simmons, were on a group text last year, like, you know, everyone is. And they were like, Ben, you gonna play in game 4 against the Celtics? And he leaves the group text. And again, if you have an iPhone, I don't know if this works for Android, but like, if you leave a group text, it says Ben Simmons has left
the conversation, the group text. Right?
Yeah, so it's like a definitive statement. I truly do believe, I think a part of Durant's calculation is like, maybe he was anti-James Harden before because of the way James Harden left town.
Sure.
But not just him partying with James Harden in Travis Scott, because I believe you can like socially be friends with someone and not want to work with them.
Oh,
like,
for
Yeah. Yeah. But I think the Ben Simmons, there's a Ben Simmons fear. Like, KD, obviously, he's 34. He's going to want to win whatever championships. He knows, as much as he may love Kyrie Irving, that dude's unreliable and he needs another running mate. And he has no faith that Ben Simmons is that guy.
Which I think, like, is fair. Like, I think the Twitterification of the Ben Simmons, like, scouting report at this point has completely undervalued how good he is on a basketball court, right? Like, he is an all-world defender unless he's against like Giannis. Giannis bullies him, right? But everyone else, like, he is an all-world defender. He is unbelievable at getting to the basket and being like super physical until the fourth quarter. We have all that evidence, right? He is a really good passer. He's a really good rebounder. And I think people have once again kind of undervalued what rebounding from all positions can give you as a team defense, right? I think there are all these pluses. Yes, the negatives exist. The issue is we haven't seen him in so long, right? Like, we haven't seen him in so long play basketball that it's easy to just focus on that stuff and then to focus on the mental health stuff and whether or not he left a group chat or not, like all that stuff. It's easy to focus on that. But when you think about it, he's a damn good, like, all defense, all star, all NBA level player, even with all his faults. Problem is, KD hasn't played with that. So I'm with you. Like, I think I think if Ben Simmons comes back, like, once he joins the team during the season and he comes back even for like a week or two, even if he's not that good, it gives somewhat of like, I've played against this guy, I know how good he is. Like, he tried it here. Maybe it worked, maybe it didn't, but like, I have something. I have something there, right? It kind of reminds me of this story, which maybe it's not a great comparison, but when KG got traded back to the Minnesota Timberwolves, right? KG gets traded back to the Timberwolves. He's with like Wig and Levine and Kat and all these dudes. And for the first 5 games of that, he had them playing defense again. And they're like buying in. They're like, holy shit. Like, KG has to work so hard to get his body ready for like 15 to 20 minutes a night at this age. And it really resonated with them. And then KG got hurt. And as he's barking all this stuff and he's working out all this stuff, it became less so and less so effective. And it didn't like reverberate within these guys because now he wasn't on the court anymore. And I think that's something that we kind of maybe overlook from the outside looking in, of like, to have like confidence in another player, they have to be out there. And so Ben Simmons is good. He's a good basketball player, but KD hasn't had him out there alongside him yet. And I think that helps you kind of like not trust that. And then, like you said, like, he may love Kyrie forever, but like, Kyrie is not reliable to be out there, whether it's a vaccine thing or his body holding up or whatever. Like, so now you're looking at the situation. It's like, look, they're not taking care of my guy, Kyrie. I don't like playing for Steve Nash anymore. I don't like what's going on with Sean Marks. Like, I just want to get out of here. Like, I don't trust the situation. And it might be an overreaction for KD, but it exists.
Can we do this small thing, which is, what? So if the Nets do have to trade Kevin Durant, What do you, how do you play it out? Like, do you do the Daryl Morey, I'm going to hold on to the asset as long as I can? Do you do the Denver Nuggets with Melo, which is, we will trade you, but Kevin, just play? Or, like,
right,
do you do the James Harden, which is like, you know, show up fat and then
force
a trade immediately?
If I'm KD, I don't know if he can show up fat. I don't know what his version of showing up fat is. Yo, if all of a sudden he just had a pot belly, like just he's still super skinny everywhere else, but he just has this like weird pot belly. If you're KD, you show up and you're bad and disruptive. You play. The mistake Ben Simmons made is he didn't show up and make it awkward. Like that's
besides
that's
the one practice with the cell phone in his pocket.
Right, but you got I love that. But you got to do that.
Glowing in his pocket.
You've got to do that. Like, you've got to do what James Harden did. James Harden came and he like played half ass and he was fat and he was out of shape. And at a certain point, you had DeMarcus Cousins and John Wall, who are like not strong, like prominent features on that Rockets team, going, what the hell's this guy doing over here? Like, this is ridiculous. And so,
the
like,
paragon of veteran virtue.
Yeah.
Those two.
But that's what you have to do. If you're KD, you show up and you're disruptive and you're like kind of lazy and you're not trying your best, and it like that will get old quick for a team. If you are the Nets, if you're Sean Marks and Joe Tsai, you ask him to show up, you hope he plays well, and you say, look, we will trade you, but we're not going to trade you just to trade you. We have to make sure we get certain things back. You and your agent want to work on that on the side and talking to teams, go for it. Would love that to happen. But whether he plays or not, you have to hold on until you get the deal you want. I gave Daryl Morey a lot of shit over those first couple of months of pie in the sky. You're not getting Damian Lillard. What's wrong with you? And then what happened? He ended up with James Harden. That may not be the move that puts the Sixers over the top in the long run. Maybe it works out. Maybe it doesn't. But he wanted one of those two guys, and he got one of those two guys. He got what he wanted. I do think you have to approach it that way if you're the Nets. You have Kevin Durant under a long-term contract. You like, I think players have way more leverage than we give them credit for in those situations, especially like star players. Although Steven Jackson even negotiated an extension once upon a time and then immediately requested a trade and got the trade. Yeah. So it can happen. But I think like for the Nets, like you have an asset that nobody else can offer in the NBA. You have to make sure you get the deal you want.
Yeah, and it's not just that. It's like you have KD through his like age 37. So mm-hmm. like you have the rest of Kevin Durant's like prime career.
He's still
and
so good, man. He's still so yes. good.
So like, so that's why this decision is so incredibly important for the Nets, because, and we all know like the potential trade packages. It's like the disgusting Tyler Hero, Duncan Robinson.
You just, look, I would love for Kevin Durant to end up in Miami. I think that would be super fun. Do not ever take that contract or that take that deal. Like that is not
take that deal.
I think Tyler Hero is a solid player. He's not the next Devin Booker as some people in the Heat organization are hoping for.
and like, so then it's like, I mean, this is what's so silly. It's like you say the Scottie Barnes package, which isn't even not that is not available.
If that was available. And that's I'm Brooklyn, move. I would take that.
Over Jaylen like, Brown? Okay, because here's the...
The
Scotty
yes,
Barnes package is Scotty Barnes plus because of contracts. It's
like OG.
Or it's like OG or Fred VanVleet or Pascal, which I don't think they'd put Siakam.
I don't think Pascal's involved, yeah.
But like it's other stuff. It's
Yeah,
you know,
I think it's... Like if it's Scotty, Gary Trent Jr., OG, who doesn't want to really be there anymore, it sounds like. And then... like three picks, whatever that is, or two picks and a pick swap or whatever that ends up being, right? Because you are getting something very significant in Scottie Barnes on a rookie deal. I would take that if I was the Nets. I think Scottie Barnes is a monster, like an yes. absolute monster. If I get the chance to control him for the next 6 to 8 years, whatever that is,
or until he requests a trade out of town,
until he requests a trade or the firing of Sean Marks Jr., whatever that ends up being.
How funny would it be if Scotty Barnes, known good guy, comes in and is like, actually, fire Sean Marks?
Though. Yeah, fire like, Sean Marks. I'm not playing, I'm not signing an extension unless you fire Sean Marks. I think that I don't know that you're getting a better deal than that. I understand the Jaylen Brown stuff, and I understand the fact that, like, look, the Nets, it does them no good to tank. They have to win. They have to remain competitive. So, like, Jaylen Brown is clearly the better player. I'd take the future of Scottie Barnes over that deal.
Do you know what's hilarious, though? Scottie Barnes and Ben Simmons being on the same team, it would be again, all rebounding, all defense, no shooting.
Again, I have to see push Ben Simmons back on a basketball court before I'm entertaining any of these ideas.
No, you do. You hire Rick Pitino to coach that team. You press.
Oh, my God.
You just have.
I don't know. Do you think you can get Rick away from Iona College?
It's tough, apparently.
It's going to be tough.
He could do it on the weekends. He could still coach Iona and the Nets. They're pretty close together.
Yeah, it's pretty close, actually. Yeah, if he gets dual citizenship with that, I think that's okay.
So one last thing, which is like if the Nets keep Kevin Durant, right? And like they don't satisfy the trade request and all that stuff. I think what the Nets are banking on, one, they're not just going to take any deal because they have no reason to. I think what they are banking on is that like, Kyrie is supposed to come back. Ben Simmons looking great this summer, looking fantastic. The summer of Ben Simmons. I think they're hoping that if they go into training camp with Kyrie, Ben Simmons, and all the shooters and blah, 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 and KD shows up, he's going to be like, oh, shit, I guess I'll try. And then you get into the team structure, and it's an us versus them, and it's the last dance mentality, and then you're like, you just try to get it to go. It'll be the worst culture versus most talent possible, but... That's what you're banking on, right?
Yeah.
Like you're banking on that.
That's pie in the sky, right? Like, that's what everyone thinks when it comes to a star wanting out, right? Like, the Wolves with Tom Thibodeau and Jimmy Butler tried that. It was like, Tom was just like, hey, let's get him
that
in.
That worked out.
It sure did. It's like, we'll get him into camp. He'll be back playing basketball again. He'll fall in love. Like, it'll be great. And then it was just like, what a disaster. That's
Malika
what everyone
Andrews
thinks
will be there.
It's what the Rockets thought was going to happen with James Harden, right? Like, oh, we'll get him in. He'll be fine. And it's what the Nets have to hope happens there. I think if I'm the Nets in this situation, I say, look, we need you for this year. We need you to play out this year. You got Kyrie for a year. Like, this is the team we're putting around. We will seriously work on looking into deals at the deadline, but more likely you get traded around the draft next year. Like, more likely that is what happens, but we need you to commit for this year and then we'll work on it. And you kind of have a situation like, it's not a great one-to-one, but like with Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay, right? Like, you just like, hey, let's do this one more year. Then we'll work on moving you. And then look what happened, right? Like, now he's not
going
anywhere.
Drink some ayahuasca and
do a little ayahuasca and let's see what happens.
Yeah.
I think that's what you have to, I think that's how you pitch it to KD, is just like, we need you for this year. We're not getting a deal done. Like, the deal doesn't make any sense right now. Go out there, ball out, see what happens. And then next summer we'll move you.
Are you surprised? So the one last, are you surprised the 76ers haven't been, if there's one GM in the league who knows what star power is all about, has his whole career has been bent on getting star power.
Yeah.
Daryl Morey's the dude. Now, obviously, they're limited. But, I mean, financially, it's pretty easy. It's like Tobias Harris and Maxey.
Right.
And is Maxey better than Scottie Barnes? Like, you know, then
no,
you can...
he's not. I love Tyrese Maxey. He's not better than Scottie Barnes. Scottie Barnes is like 6'9", point forward, who can do everything, right? And we'll learn to shoot. Like, Tyrese Maxey's really, really good.
Yeah.
You're looking at like a guy who's like definitely a starting guard and a good one. Scottie Barnes is like a franchise dude.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I'm just saying, I'm surprised we haven't heard the 76ers, like, Daryl Morey calls up, you know, Sean Marks or the, you know, the straw man GM.
Yeah. I think I know why. They're under tampering investigation, doing some crazy stuff. And that's going to do it for this Kevin Durant offseason conversation. Thanks to Mike Smeltz. Make sure you're checking out the Glue Guys. Make sure you're checking out all the shows on the Athletic Podcast Network. For Mike, I'm Zach Harper. Keep it locked in on The Athletic.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.